today. My name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here. As we begin this morning, I do want to play a little bit of an imaginative exercise with you as we get started. And I want you to imagine that you have to drive to Indianapolis this week. You've got to get in the car, and you've got to drive the 2.5 hours, or depending on how you drive, maybe the 2 hours, to get to Indy, and you got to get there this week. Now, I got a question. After you get in the car and you're going, how much of you getting there depends on you, like your physical arrival in Indianapolis, your physical travel? How much of it depends on you? That's an interesting question, because you might say, well, I got to get in the car, I got to drive it. But really, if you boil it all the way down, practically speaking, you have nothing to do physically of getting yourself there. It's all the engine of the car. The car is what gets you there. Your arrival has nothing to do with your fitness or your strength. It was all the vehicle that you chose to drive. I want to suggest to you, as we've been looking at this shared story and what it means to share our story and to see people come to faith in Jesus, that evangelism in that sense and being a ready storyteller works very much the same way. It's not on you. It's the engine in the car. Namely, it's God himself. He's the one, ultimately, it's his ability, not our own, right? He's the one who sent us to those people to share with them. He's the one who gives boldness to open our mouth and start a conversation. He's the one who gives power to my weak words. He's the one who opens hearts so that people might receive the gospel. He's the one who, if they put their faith in Jesus, recognizes their true faith and actually does the changing of them and rescuing of them. He's the one who adopts them into his family and gives the Holy Spirit. So what part did you play in getting to Indy? Well, you're going to drive the car, right? But even in sharing our story, God's the one very much who drives the car. That's where a lot of the illustration breaks down. God is also driving the car. He's leading you as you direct and directs you as we have these gospel conversations with people that he's already been working in their lives. So what's left for you if you're a follower of Jesus? Because if you are a follower of Jesus, you've been sent by him to love people and to invite him to follow Jesus with you. It's not an if, it's a you have. What's your part in it? Well, to use the car analogy, you've got to get in the car, turn on the engine, and put it in gear. That's really your part. And so we've been using this acronym of PEARL. We talked about that last Sunday. We started that. We'll come back to it again today. But the first part of that is to pray. And so as we get started this morning, I think that's a great place for us to start, is just to pray, to ask for God's help. And then we're going to look more at what it means to be a ready storyteller. Sound good? Let's pray. Father, thanks for Jesus. Thanks, Jesus, for your grace toward us. Thanks for being a willing and ready storyteller who came to bring good news for us, to die in our place on the cross, to rise from the grave, to give us new life. Thanks that you give us the privilege of being able to share in that joy, too, and be sent by you to others. God, we pray, too, not only just for this morning, but just for all the events happening in our world. Jesus, you did say that that you would rule and reign to the end, and you'd be with us to the end, the whole of every moment, and you would reign even for eternity. And so even as we see these things happening, we pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world who are suffering maybe persecution or hardship in some way, shape, or form. But we think especially just or right in the front of our minds today are the things happening in Iran and Israel and all throughout the Middle East. And so we pray for your grace there, that your spirit would lead and guide. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the leaders of other nations too, that Holy Spirit, you would direct them. You would give them wisdom, and that Jesus, your reign would come even sooner than we might dream or hope, and that you'd come quickly to restore what we've so messed up in our sin. And so we trust you with that. We thank you, too, just for evil being dealt with, and we pray that now going forward there might be peace and the knowledge of Christ. Help us today. Help me as I teach your word. But you, Holy Spirit, speak to and through me. Help us understand the things you've written down for us, that we might apply them to our lives and live differently, especially as your ambassadors, as we'll see today. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in this series, again, we've been exploring what it looks like to live as a ready storyteller. Here's some of the things we've talked about so far. We've said, God sends us, and we just go. That's our part. We've talked about God is already at work in the lives of people we love and care about. Our only responsibility is to participate with what it is he's already doing. We've talked about God is the one who opens doors for us. He's the one who gives us courage to go to people and to speak and to initiate relationship and friendship and conversation. And ultimately, that's all we have to do. And then to share our story and his, and he does the work of changing hearts. Well, since about 2018, we've used this strategy we've called Pearl. And it was actually developed by a friend of mine. He's a pastor at the Compass Church in Chicagoland. And it comes from a parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13. Whenever Jesus taught about the kingdom, he would talk about it in such a way that he would tell parables. Parables are just short stories that are meant to teach something. And he would tell so many parables about the kingdom, and this is one of the shortest ones. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." So again, get that picture in your mind, right? The pearl merchant looking for pearls, he finds one that's so valuable, he's willing to sell everything, even all of his other pearls, to buy that one. Now, Jesus is trying to tell us, like, the kingdom of God is worth that. Like, it is so worth it to follow me and to inherit the kingdom beyond what you could ever dream. And I think there's some big implications here when we think about sharing our faith and about evangelism for those of us who are followers of Jesus. That I know this parable, thinking on this over the last decade now, has really changed my understanding and view of evangelism, that it's not about me convincing somebody. It's not about me winning somebody to Christ. It's about me helping someone else win. Like, the winner in this story is the merchant who found the pearl. And so what I'm doing in evangelism and in being a ready storyteller, I'm helping people find God. I'm helping them find Jesus. I'm helping them find the kingdom and that which is of the greatest value. And that's all I'm doing. I'm a guide. I'm there to help. But God's the one ultimately who rescues. So we've used then from this the idea of Pearl as an acronym to think about what that looks like. So first, we talked about this last Sunday. We want to pray for people. We want to pray for those who are far from God, that we know, that we love, that we care about, that God would be working in their hearts, drawing them to himself. We even had a bunch of these cards. There's more of them available. You can just jot some names down of people you'd pray for on a regular basis. Keep it in your pocket. Put it on your mirror somewhere you'd see it and pray for them. And really, this whole strategy, it very much mirrors how Jesus went about being a ready storyteller. In fact, Jesus prayed for you and I before we ever came to faith in him. Look in John chapter 17. I skipped ahead, didn't I? I hit the button. My fingers are too fat. Let's go back. Pray for them. Look what Jesus does in John 17. On the night before he went to the cross, he's praying in the garden, and one of the things he does is he prays. He says, "Father, I don't ask these, ask only for these," for his disciples who are present with him, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word. I pray also for those who will believe." Guess who that is? That's us. That's you and me. Jesus prayed for us ahead of time before we ever came to believe. We need to pray. A ready storyteller, the first thing they do is they pray, and just pray regularly for people by name. The second thing is to eat with them. And I think Jesus did this as well. Now you're like, okay, pray, I can do. Eat, I can totally do that one. I'm in on this strategy, right? Jesus came, Matthew tells us, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Now really what's at play here is just a relational connection. God designed us in such a way that there's such good relational connection over a meal or over a cup of coffee. So we just use that idea of eating with somebody. But the big idea is just relational connection. Form connection with people. Not as a project, but as somebody you love and you're befriending. Jesus did this so much, by the way, that look at what was said of him. He came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him. He's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Was Jesus a glutton? No. Was he a drunk? No. But he was a friend of those who are far from God. And a lot of the ways he accomplished that was by spending time with them over a meal. And we can do the same thing. It's not too hard. The next thing is to ask a lot of questions. Jesus asked all kinds of questions. In fact, he asked over 300 questions in the Gospels. He answered about 10 questions that were asked of him because all of his answers were more questions. He was a master at just relationally engaging with people. And again, not gotcha questions, but genuine, like, tell me about your story. Tell me about who you are. If you think about it, that's how most every relationship you've ever had, most of them began with a question, didn't they? What's your name? Oh, then what else do you ask? You ask some things that get them to tell a story. It's some variation of where are you from? What do you do? Why are you here? I mean, we're natural question askers and storytellers. And so God's wired that into us. And Jesus used that to reach to the heart of people. And I think it's a strategy we can employ too. And when you do that, you're going to recognize that they're going to ask some questions back. So be ready to reveal your story and to reveal maybe even God's story of the gospel. But then no matter what, after all of that, we want to love people. We're sent to love people tangibly. Even if they don't respond to that invitation, we still love them. We still care about them. And we continue in that way. Well, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, I've become all things to all people so that some of them might become saved, right? He's like, that I may share with them the gospel and share with them in its blessings, helping them win. He also wrote some other things to the church in Corinth, ultimately about sharing our faith. And that's in his second letter we're going to look at today. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as we do, and before we even get in there, let me just encourage you as we wrap up this series today, and even as we talk through and study this passage together, be thinking, who is it that God sent you to be a ready storyteller to? Who could you be praying for? Who could you befriend? Who could you reveal your story to? You might even be thinking, and I'll bring this up at the end again today, but 5 weeks from today, 5 or 6 weeks from today, we'll say five, on April 5th is Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. And it's a great opportunity if you're like, I don't even know how to, if you bring them, invite somebody, invite a friend, people, you can invite them any Sunday for that matter, but especially that day, people are generally responsive. I'll carry the burden for you. I'll lay out the gospel as clear as I possibly can. And then you just get a follow-up after that. Sound good? So be thinking about that. Who would you invite? Who would you befriend and bring that morning? But today, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's dive in there, starting in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 14. And this is kind of in the middle of some things Paul's teaching on. So we pick it up midstream. And he says, for the love of Christ controls us. Or your translation might even say it compels us. In other words, because God loves us so much, it motivates everything else we're about to talk about. Because we've concluded this, that one has died for all. He's talking about Jesus. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. We're going to come back to that verse and talk about that a little later. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And look at this. All of this is from God. He's the one driving the car, so to speak. who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you then, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Look back at verse 18 again. Paul says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. As we get started when talking about our motivation for being a ready storyteller, it's all because God brought us back to himself. He brought us back to himself in Christ. Now, to be reconciled is to be brought back into relationship. I wonder, have you ever had a falling out with someone? You ever had a relationship or a friendship go sour? Nobody? All your relationships are just perfect, total perfect communication. I guarantee you have, right? Have you ever had some of those relationships reconciled and restored? Well, what does that look like? Well, someone has to forgive. Someone has to admit some wrong, or at least take the hurt for the wrong and deal with it and set it aside. Someone has to initiate. Someone, and really in reality, in our relationships, both people have to do that to some degree, right? But here we read that God reconciled us to himself. He actually stepped in Jesus Christ. He stepped into our place, took our place on the cross, all of our sin, all of the ways we messed up, and he fixed it on our behalf. He reconciled us to himself. He did it. We didn't climb our way back. We didn't clean ourselves up first. We didn't negotiate some kind of peace with God. He initiated. He moved towards us. He opened the way. He brought us home. And if you ever wonder what will really motivate you as a ready storyteller, it's not guilt, like, oh, I should have shared, but I didn't. And no, it's gratitude for what God has done for you and for me. He's reconciled us. He's done it. That's why Paul says in verse 14, God's love controls us. His love compels us. That's what he's talking about. So that's where Paul wants to start. God does this in a couple of ways. He makes us new. Paul mentioned that in verse 17, right? He says it really plainly. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's how the New Testament talks about being a Christian, is people who are in Christ. It's like you're veiled, you're covered in Christ. And when God sees you now, he sees you as he sees his own son, as holy and righteous and pure, with a brand new identity, as a brand new creation. And if we're going to be ready storytellers, like, we've really got to embrace that and understand that. Otherwise, we might think, well, instead, actually, when someone is in Christ, they get a little better. Or they clean up some bad habits. They live a little bit more immoral lives. But Paul doesn't say that. He says, no. New creation. Brand new. Something of an entirely different kind. The gospel isn't self-help. It's God's help. It's Jesus' help for you. He reconciles us to himself. He gives a new heart, a new identity, a new source of power. And to be a ready storyteller, I've got to embrace that for myself and in the way I think about other people. Otherwise, I don't know, maybe I'm only speaking for me. I might look at somebody and go, they're too far gone to respond. They've got too much going for them. They're not going to be interested. They're not really going to care about this. God can't really change them. No, God's in the business of making people new. Or on the flip side, if we don't really understand it and believe it to be true of ourselves, we'll use that as an excuse. I'm not speaking from any experience here, okay? Just so you know. Totally am. Oh, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough good things to do or to say. Like, they're not going to believe me. No. In Jesus Christ, you are brand new. And you are deeply loved. And you belong. And you are home. And you are his. And that motivates you to be able to tell his story of what he's done for you. The old has passed away so that the new can come. And Paul explains how God did it. He reconciled us. He reconciled us in Christ. This is all from God, who through Christ, he reconciled us to himself. And in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Here's what it means: not counting their trespasses against them. That is really good news. Like, that God doesn't count our sin against us. Imagine if God was just counting sins. To quote my fourth grade son, we'd be cooked. Right? We'd be done. There's no way. But he doesn't. He sets them aside. In fact, he puts them on Jesus. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So when we say that God brought us back to himself in Christ, this is God making peace for us with him through his son. Peter says that's why Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That's why he did it. Your real sin dealt with, real guilt removed, real distance closed. And now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off from him, without hope, you've been brought near. Maybe somebody looked at you one time and thought, there's no way there. They're too far gone. But God didn't. In Christ, he brings you near, killing hostility between us through the cross. In Colossians then too, if you're in Christ, you're not on probation with God. You're not barely hanging on or simply being tolerated. That's who you were. You were once alienated and hostile in mind. You were doing evil deeds, but now God is reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, Jesus has, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. See, the gospel is this: you will never fix yourself. You will never do enough good deeds. You will never do enough righteous acts. You will never pay enough or go through enough rituals or do it the right way. It will never be enough. But Jesus did it for you. And in his body, in his death, in his obedience, in his resurrection, he gives to you new life. It's a gift. That's why it's good news. And you're loved and you belong. And that's what motivates us, because God brought us back to himself to be and live as ready storytellers, people who are available and intentional. Just available and intentional. You know, you don't have to be the engine. You don't have to be impressive. You just have to show up. You just got to put the car in gear. Paul's got a word that he uses for this in the passage we're looking at today. Here's the word. He calls us ambassadors. That's what he says you and I are. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're an ambassador of Christ. Look at verse 20. Therefore, because he's reconciled us, we are ambassadors for Christ. God makes his appeal through us. So we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. You and I are ambassadors of Christ. We don't use that term real often other than like in a political sense, you know, like an ambassador from one country to another. And that ambassador, they represent their home country. They represent the leader of that country, of that kingdom. They don't represent themselves or their own opinion. An ambassador is a representative. They carry the agenda of the one who sent them. They don't decide the message, they just deliver the message. They don't go on their own initiative, they just remain available and ready for wherever they're sent. They don't speak for their self, they tell the story of the one who sent them. And you and I are ambassadors for Christ. This is really like practical, meaningful stuff, because it means you're not just a parent. You're not just a factory worker. You're not just a teacher. You're not just a neighbor. You're not just this or that or whatever else you want to fill the blank in with. No, you're an ambassador. You've been sent into all of those ordinary places of life where you live, work, learn, and play to represent Christ. Jesus said it this way, you're the light of the world. And a city on a hill can't be hidden. I mean, nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel. Oh, that's the song, puts it under a bushel. No, right? Doesn't happen. No, you're a light. And Jesus shines through you as his ambassador, wherever you go, just in ordinary places. In fact, that's exactly why God called you to be his own. He says, you and I were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, holy, we're his own possession. Well, why? So that we can proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He calls us and he sends us. That's an ambassador representing Christ. That's what an ambassador is. Now, here's something true of good ambassadors. The best ambassadors don't see things simply from the perspective of the place they're at. They see them from the perspective of the place from which they're sent and the one from whom they're sent. That's the lens with which they look at what's happening. And so as an ambassador of Christ, that means we don't look at things from our own perspective, but from God's perspective. Paul talked about this too. Did you catch it? Back in verse 16, here's what he said of seeing things from God's point of view. He said, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Now, that's kind of a strange way to say it, but your translation might even say it exactly this way. What he's communicating there is that now we see no one merely from a human perspective. I'm not just looking at it from a human perspective. Once we even regarded Christ from a human perspective, not anymore. He's clearly sent from God. He clearly is God. And so we regard no one in that way anymore. We regard them as good ambassadors, as seeing them as God sees them. See, if I only see people from a human perspective, that's when those thoughts creep in my mind of like, they'll never respond. They really don't care. They've got too much going on to listen to me. I don't really like that person to begin with. You know, I mean, all these sorts of things kind of pop in our minds, right? But what's God's perspective on the people he sends us to? Well, they're image bearers who will exist for the rest of eternity, either in God's blessedness or under his wrath. They have a soul that he created and loves deeply. Jesus died on their behalf on the cross, and he longs for them to receive that gift. That's God's perspective, right? He so loved the world. And we want to see people in the same way. If we're going to be effective, ready storytellers, effective ambassadors, that's how, like that sign on the front of the building can't just be like a slogan. Well, we've got to live that and love people because God loves them. So here's maybe a question even to take with you on this point as you go today. Who are you tempted to write off today and go, no chance? I don't know. Maybe they haven't responded yet because God sent you and he longs for them to hear your voice. Who knows? But ready storytellers, then, they're available and they're intentional and they look for open doors to reveal Christ. We want to be available. We want to be intentional, see things from God's point of view, and then look for open doors. Now, if you're like me, your next question is, okay, I see an open door. Now, what do I say? What do I do? Well, ambassadors come with a message, so it's not silence. It's not nothing. Look again here at verse 20. Paul says, we're ambassadors. God makes his appeal. He's making his appeal through us. So we implore you, be reconciled to God. On behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. we're making an appeal. God's inviting and he's calling and he's urging. And it's kind of wild to me. He does that through us. Like, would there be other ways God could make his appeal to everyone? 100%. Totally could. If he wanted to, he could put a big banner up in the sky. He could send us all an email. He could do whatever he wanted to do to get our attention. But one of his primary ways is sending us as his representatives. And he does that so we can share in that same joy and not forget what it is he did for us. And live as ready storytellers. And to reveal Christ then isn't just dumping a bunch of information on somebody. It's appealing to them. It's loving the person. It's winning their heart. It's not winning an argument. It's befriending them. You know, we're making an appeal that we want to share the gospel clearly. And so, you know, remember our pearl strategy? Maybe you've prayed for this person or these people or this place. You've spent all kinds of relational time with them. You've asked really good questions, and now it's time to reveal your story and God's story. How do you do that? How do you share your story? What do you reveal? Well, the New Testament, thankfully, is full of examples, and the Bible in general is, of people sharing their story of what God's done for them. Can I show you just a few? And they do it in really simple ways. It's not as profound sometimes as we think. This guy, now some of their stories are profound, but what they share is not. The demoniac, this guy in Mark chapter 5 was possessed with multiple demons. The guy was in chains. He had cut and mutilated himself in all kinds of crazy ways. He ran around naked. And I don't know about you, but if I'm thinking like, I think they might be too far gone, I'm probably more prone to walk past that guy. But Jesus doesn't do that, right? He goes right up to him and he talks to him and he heals him and he rescues him from that bondage. And the man is changed when he puts his faith in Christ. Jesus did it all. And then fast forward the story a little bit. Jesus is getting ready to get back in the boat with the disciples and go back across the Lake of Galilee to the other side. And this guy goes, can I come along? I got to come with you. And Jesus is like, nope, you can't. Actually, I want you to go back into town and tell everybody what I've done for you. So what's the guy do? Well, he goes back into town. And the people see him coming. They're like, he has clothes on. This is progress. What's going on in this guy's life? And he starts talking rationally. And he's like, I don't get exactly what happened, but I know this. I met Jesus, and he saved me. And through the witness of this one man, we read the entire region. People throughout the entire region came to faith in Christ because of his simple story. God changed me. How about there's a man Jesus encountered who was blind from the time that he was born. Jesus told him, he said, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. And anyway, long story short, Jesus heals him and he can see again. And people start asking questions. Well, what sin did he commit or his parents commit that he was blind from the time that he was born? I mean, guy's like, sinner or not, I don't know, but here's what I know. I was blind, now I'm not. like sharing your story of what God's done in your life, it doesn't have to be too complicated. It's just like, all I know, I was walking in this way, doing these things, I had no hope, and I met Jesus, and I have hope. He saved me. All I know is I was blind, and now like I see the world in a totally different way, and I'm new. Well, how'd that? I don't know. But he did it. It's just sharing your story. The psalmist says, come here, all who fear God. I'll tell you what he's done for my soul. Peter tells us, he encourages us, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason. Just do it with gentleness and respect. He doesn't, by the way, notice he doesn't say you have to have a well-articulated, really good reason that would pass a seminary entrance exam. Just have a reason. He did it for me. He loved me. And share God's story. So how can you share your story? I think there's a couple ways we share our story. And it happens in different ways, in really small ways and in big ways. First, they're like pointing stories. Here's what I mean by that. Like something good happens and you acknowledge it. And in acknowledging it, you point to Christ. And you just recognize Jesus did this. This is really good, man. I'm so grateful for his kindness to me. And you name him in that way. Other stories are growth stories of how I've been growing in my faith and how he's changing me or helping me deal with this issue or that issue. I haven't made it yet, but he's working and I'm growing. Some stories, and if you're a follower of Jesus, you would have this story of how you came to faith. You're not born a Christian, right? You come to faith in Jesus. And like, what's your story of who I was before, what happened, and what's been true of me since? We have a tool, maybe you saw some of these as you came in. It's called the second greatest story ever told. The greatest story, obviously, is Jesus. Second greatest is what he's done and is doing in your lives. And all this is a tool. There's just like some worksheets in here that just help you tell your story, a growth story of how he's changing you or a salvation story. Now, listen, if you take this, you don't have to be like rigid and follow it like to the T. If you want to, go for it, but don't feel that pressure. It's just a tool. And these are available too on our website. If you go to wawaseebible.com/pearl, wawaseebible.com/pearl, or under the menu at the top under Go, you can find it. And you can just download a PDF of that same thing of how to reveal your story. There'll be more of these available up front at the end today, and there's some scattered throughout the commons. You can pick up anytime. But then ultimately, God may give you an opportunity even to share his story and to share the gospel. And, you know, you need to know, that is one thing you do need to know. What is the gospel? Paul sums it up really easily in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, and then he rose again on the third day in accordance with the scripture. That's the gospel. Jesus died in my place and in your place on the cross. He was buried and he rose again and gives us new life. That's it in a nutshell. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes, that's how you receive it. Now, again, on that same page, if you just scroll down a little further, you can see how to share God's story. Now, somebody pointed out earlier this morning that I'm wearing the same shirt today as I was in that picture after the first service. I said, well, maybe I need a new wardrobe, but at least it still fits. I got that going for me. But there's just three options there just to help you. And how can you share God's story? Just watch those. Or if you get on our app, you can tap on Gospel Conversations. And there's some examples, these same examples there as well. But because God brought you back to himself and me, he brought us back to himself in Christ. We want to live as ready storytellers, available, intentional, looking for open doors to reveal Christ. Now, as we wrap up, I want to share one story with you. It's a story actually I've shared with you in the past, but it's about this guy. His name is David Morris. And David was a jeweler. May still be in London. And he was especially fond and well-versed as it related to pearls. He loved to search the world for some of the best pearls. About 2014, there was a jeweler, another friend of his, came to him and he said, David, there's a couple that I need you to meet. They've got a pearl that you've got to see. He's like, all right, well, let's meet them. And he arranged a meeting between the two of them, and the couple came to his shop, and they put up these two pearl earrings, each one with a pearl hanging on it. Now, they had found these. They were cleaning out their house. They found them in the attic or some place of storage in their home, and they belonged to a grandmother or someone in their family. And they found him and got him out and thought, boy, we ought to have these appraised. And so they went and they got him appraised. And they appraised for $140,000. So they meet and they tell him the story, and they look at him. And David, when he looks at him, he knows, and listen, remember, he knows pearls better than anyone in the world. And he could immediately tell that one of them was fake. But the other one took his breath away. And so he said to the couple, hey, do you mind if I take these back into my shop and just be able to look at it under a microscope and kind of check it out further? I love this stuff. And this, you have a great pearl here. And so he took it back and he looked at it under a microscope, and he came back and they're like, you know, they reminded him, you know, we had these appraised for $140,000. He goes, well, I'd like to buy it from you. Not this one. This one's fake, but I want this one. And they said, I don't know if we're ready to part with it yet. He said, well, I'll give you 10 times what it was appraised for. They're like, $1.4 million? He said, yeah. He goes, well, we're going to have to think about it. Sold. Turns out, he had no hesitation to fork over $1.4 million because he knew the value of that pearl. It ended up being the largest spherical freshwater natural pearl known to exist in the world. And it was the pearl of his dreams. He couldn't believe what he had seen, and he was willing to give everything to make it his own. Does that story sound familiar? Jesus said the kingdom of God is like that. It's like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding this one of incredible, inestimable value, sold everything he had to purchase it. And so, friends, when we think about that, the people we're sent to, we're helping them find their pearl, find the kingdom, find God who's chasing after their heart. And again, I'll just remind you, Easter Sunday, about 5 weeks from now, I'll present the gospel as clearly and as plainly as I can. If you're unsure how to share it, bring someone along, invite them. And then all you'll have to do is just, hey, what'd you think afterwards? Deal? Let me pray. Father, thanks for Jesus. Thanks, Jesus, that you came, you put on flesh to enter into our world, to live the life we couldn't, to die in my place on the cross, in our place. And that you rose from the grave to give to us life that we could never achieve or earn or have on our own, but only as a gift from you. Lord, help us just recognize the great value of that gift and how incredible that is. Give us a heart and a desire to help others find that life in you. I do pray for those, Lord, that we know and love who are far from you. You know and love them so much more. So give us just availability and intentionality to pursue them as friends and in relationship, and even to reveal our story, even your story. We pray that at some point they might come to faith in you as well and know that same joy. Father, thanks for Jesus. I pray all this through him. Amen.